What if the worst decision in Super Bowl history wasn't actually a bad decision at all? When Seattle Seahawks coach Pete Carroll called for a pass play at the Patriots' one-yard line with 26 seconds left, the ball was intercepted and the game was lost. Headlines savaged him mercilessly. Yet the statistics told a different story. Interceptions from the one-yard line were virtually non-existent that season. The play had sound logic behind it. So why did it feel so catastrophically wrong? Because we've been taught to judge decisions by their outcomes, not by the quality of thinking that produced them. This confusion between process and result shapes nearly every choice we make, from career moves to parenting strategies to what we order for dinner. Understanding this distinction might be the most valuable mental shift you'll ever make. Chess rewards pure skill. The better player almost always wins because everything is visible and predictable. Life resembles poker instead. You can make brilliant decisions and still lose. You can make terrible choices and stumble into success. The difference lies in hidden information and uncertainty. Our brains desperately crave certainty. This instinct kept our ancestors alive when rustling grass might signal a predator. False positives, thinking it's a lion when it's just wind, cost far less than false negatives, assuming it's wind when it's actually a lion. But this survival mechanism betrays us now. We force connections between choices and outcomes, assuming causation where there's only correlation. We cherry-pick data to confirm our preferred narratives. The quality of our lives equals decision quality plus luck, but uncertainty creates dangerous room for self-deception. Either missing our mistakes when we win, or assuming we erred when we lose despite sound reasoning. Poker legend Johnny World bet $30,000 he could live in Des Moines for a month. After 2 days, he paid $15,000 to escape back to Las Vegas. This illustrates a universal truth. Every decision is a bet. Choosing one path eliminates all others. Taking a job means foregoing other opportunities. Ordering chicken instead of steak is a bet. Unlike gambling, our decisions aren't bets against others. We're betting against all potential future versions of ourselves we're not choosing. That nagging, "I knew I should have made the other choice" feeling is just an alternative version of yourself saying, "I told you so." The quality of our bets depends on the quality of our beliefs. Unfortunately, we form beliefs haphazardly. Harvard psychologist Daniel Gilbert's research shows we believe first, then maybe question later. Under cognitive pressure, people process all statements as true regardless of whether they were labeled false. This explains why we confidently believe unresearched myths, from baldness coming from maternal grandfathers to dog years equaling human years times 7. We apply this same flawed system to consequential beliefs, not just trivial misconceptions. When someone challenges you with, "Wanna bet?" your mind shifts immediately. You become more analytical, examining your evidence with heightened scrutiny, and questioning why you believe what you believe. This betting framework introduces crucial quantification. Instead of binary yes or no confidence, you can say, "I'm 70% confident the market will decline," rather than stating it as absolute fact. Expressing uncertainty enhances credibility. Someone who's 75% confident demonstrates thoughtful self-awareness, inviting collaborative dialogue rather than confrontational debate. Others share information more freely when they don't have to contradict absolute certainty. The scientific community formalized this through confidence intervals, institutionalized acknowledgement of uncertainty that's been crucial to progress. In business decisions, explicitly stating confidence levels leads to better risk assessment and contingency planning. It encourages teams to prepare for multiple scenarios rather than assuming a single predicted outcome will certainly occur. When we adopt this mindset in daily thinking, we create an environment where beliefs can be discussed, tested, and improved collectively. Every outcome involves both skill and luck. How we sort outcomes between these buckets determines whether we learn from experience. The Snackwells phenomenon illustrates this difficulty. When millions gained weight eating low-fat cookies high in sugar, they couldn't determine if weight gain came from poor choices or bad metabolism. Working backward from outcomes isn't straightforward because different paths can reach the same result. our self-serving bias leads us to take credit for good results and blame bad ones on luck. By blaming bad outcomes on luck, we miss opportunities to examine our decisions. By taking credit for good outcomes, we reinforce decisions that might not deserve reinforcement. This black and white thinking distorts our view like a funhouse mirror, maximizing our skill's role in good outcomes while minimizing it in bad ones. We can't bypass this bias by learning from others' experiences either. We apply the same biases when watching others, just flipped. We blame their bad outcomes on poor decisions while attributing their successes to luck. Groups improve decisions only with explicit commitment to exploratory thinking. Otherwise, they drift into echo chambers. Effective truth-seeking groups prioritize accuracy over confirmation, establish advance accountability, welcome diverse perspectives, evaluate decision processes, not just outcomes, and practice intellectual humility. This aligns with thinking in bets. We calibrate beliefs to reality, not defend pet ideas. Our approval craving is so strong that people work for validation from strangers they'll never see again. Smart groups harness this by rewarding accuracy and honesty with social approval. John Stuart Mill recognized that diversity tests truth by forcing critical questions. Why might I be wrong? What am I missing? Cass Sunstein's study of 6,000-plus federal cases showed one opposing party judge created a large disciplining effect, moderating extremes. Investment clubs with diverse members, varying in age, profession, style, consistently outperform homogeneous groups. Outside your truth-seeking circle, modify your approach. Express uncertainty, lead with assent by finding agreement before adding information, and focus forward rather than rehashing past decisions. Mental time travel activates our deliberative mind, helping us prioritize long-term consequences over immediate gratification. Jerry Seinfeld's night guy joke captures temporal discounting, our tendency to favor present self over future self. Stanford researchers found people who saw age-progressed images of themselves allocated significantly more to retirement accounts. We magnify present emotions, treating momentary setbacks as catastrophic when they'll barely register a year later. Backcasting, imagining ourselves at our destination looking backward, increases our ability to identify reasons for future outcomes by 30% compared to forward planning. While backcasting explores positive futures, a pre-mortem investigates negative outcomes before they happen. Despite popular wisdom, research shows people who imagine obstacles are more likely to achieve their goals. Time resembles a tree. The trunk represents our singular past, while branches represent multiple possible futures. When one materializes, we mentally chainsaw off other branches, making the outcome seem inevitable. This hindsight bias undermines probabilistic thinking. Poker teaches us to take satisfaction in making good bets regardless of outcomes. Life, like poker, involves losses even after optimal decisions. Your task isn't predicting the future perfectly. It's navigating uncertainty by calibrating beliefs toward accurate representations of reality.